Rabbi Mark Schneier is president of the Foundation for Ethnic Understanding and founding rabbi of the Hampton Synagogue in New York. Rabbi Schneier, thank you so much for joining me at the Media Line.
My pleasure.
November 9th and 10th, 1938, the night of the broken glass known as Kristallnacht, marked the eve when the Third Reich carried out pogroms throughout Germany, destroying Jewish-owned stores and synagogues. 30,000 Jews were arrested and sent to concentration camps. Amidst the rise in anti-Semites and anti-Semitic incidents, particularly in Europe, could Kristallnacht happen again?
Well, thank you for having me. And regarding your question, we must always remain vigilant. One of the lessons of Kristallnacht that we recall the deafening silence, the moral laryngitis on the part of world leaders, on the part of global faith leaders in 1938. To this day, we ask the question, why weren't these voices raised in screaming protests to the atrocities that were being perpetrated against the Jews? Kristallnacht that became a precursor to the Holocaust, and their silence is a shameful monument and testament to a moral indifference in the face of a lurking disaster.
Commemorations are taking place around the globe, but Bahrain certainly wasn't the country you'd expect participating in such an event marking Kristallnacht, let alone with the ambassador of the Kingdom of Bahrain to the United States and head of the March of the Living. Are you surprised?
I'm not surprised because I'm very familiar with the track record of His Majesty Muhammad of Bahrain, who has been the only Gulf leader to direct members of his diplomatic corps these past several years to participate in Holocaust commemorations, particularly in Europe. So when I reached out to the ambassador, to my dear friend, His Excellency Ambassador Sheikh Abdullah here in Washington, it was a resounding yes in wanting to participate in this global commemoration and to also invite the members of the Bahrainian Jewish community, the only indigenous Jewish community in the Gulf to participate. So not only will be the president, the head of the community, Ibrahim Nuni, participating, but the Bahrainian synagogue, the synagogue in Manama, will be illuminated that evening to join in solidarity the many, many synagogues around the world that will be lit to recall the destruction of more than 1,400 synagogues, all synagogues in Germany and Austria during Kristallnacht.
I witnessed that synagogue this year, and obviously it's a small synagogue. Do you anticipate a larger one opening up, being built? And do you see these events as more than a one-off, but something that would become a regular?
I see these events becoming a regular type of event in terms of participation on, by the Bahrainians. I do not see this as a runoff. The synagogue is currently going through a refurbishing in anticipation of many Jews, and particularly Israelis, now visiting Bahrain in the aftermath of the Abraham Accord. And in the foreseeable future, I don't see one. I see many synagogues, kosher restaurants, and other necessary elements of the Jewish infrastructure beginning to develop in Bahrain with the support of the Bahraini officials.
Rabbi Schneier, as special advisor to King Hamad bin Isa Al Khalifa of Bahrain, when you have a conversation with the king, what is it that he wants to know about Israel and the Jewish world?
I think that His Majesty has a tremendous commitment to interreligious and intercultural dialogue and coexistence. If anything, Bahrain is the paragon of that kind of orientation in the Gulf. There are some Gulf leaders that need to declare a year of tolerance, not for the Kingdom of Bahrain. A tolerant society is very much part of the social fabric of Bahrain now for hundreds of years, even before the modern-day kingdom was established. It's part of the culture and social fabric there. And His Majesty, since I first met with him at the palace in 2011, has always expressed genuine desire and willingness to establish relations with Israel and wanting to further relations with the Jewish community at large. I think that it's very fitting that Bahrain is at the vanguard of establishing and normalizing relations with Israel and should also be the Arab Gulf state to be participating in this global Kristallnacht commemoration with world jury.
Is the removal of President Trump from the picture damaging whatever has been done or impeding further progress?
President-elect Biden has made it clear, and so has his team, that they will not roll back any of the great accomplishments that we have seen in terms of strengthening relations between the Gulf and Israel. If anything, I think there's great opportunities ahead with President-elect Biden in terms of continuing to expand relations between Israel and other Gulf states.
Well, speaking about the Israel normalization game, what country do you think is next in line?
Look, it could be most people believe it's Oman. I would never count out Qatar. My friends in Qatar are very much the dark horse in this race normalization of ties with Israel. You know, Qatar, the last 7 years, has been the only Gulf state to publicly cooperate with the state of Israel. The breaking of humanitarian aid to Palestinians in Gaza resulted not only with the blessing of the Israelis, but at the request of the Israelis. So I could see Qatar also being one of the next countries. With Saudi Arabia, I think it's only a question of when we've gotten out of the starting gate yet. But I do see tremendous possibilities. And let's also remember that Joe Biden's position on the Palestinians is more aligned with the Gulf states than what has been the position of Donald Trump. And that's why I see that there could be some real opportunities here in terms of President Biden's alignment with the objectives of the Gulf states as well.
Have you had any personal interaction with the Palestinian side?
Oh, of course. I've met with President Abbas several times, but history has, you know, I think will come into play during the Biden administration.
What is your personal thought, and having spent time in Qatar, in Bahrain, in numerous Gulf countries in the last years, that struck you as most important in terms of the relationship between the United States and the Gulf countries and beyond, and Israel as well?
I think the greatest change I witnessed in the Gulf since I first entered that region under the patronage with the late king of Saudi Arabia, King Abdullah, more than 12 years ago, that Gulf leaders, Muslim faith leaders, today understand that Israel, for the Jewish people, is not a political issue, it's a religious issue. When I first entered the Gulf, I would always hear comments, Rabbi, we have nothing against Jews. You know, our issues are with Israelis and Zionists. And for more than a dozen years, myself and a few others, we've hammered away in terms of the might of educating leaders in the Gulf that Israel, for the Jewish people, is not a 72-year-old political issue. If anything, it's at the very core of Judaism. It's at the very center of Judaism. It's been at the core of Judaism for over 3,500 years, so that if you want to enter into an authentic dialogue with the Jewish people, one must recognize Israel as being part of the Jewish religion. And I've gone so far as to say, not only in one-on-one meetings, you know, with you know, different leaders, but at large interreligious conferences as well, that you're asking me as a Jew to bifurcate, to break out Israel from Judaism is like my asking a Muslim cleric, you know, to break out halal and Sharia, you know, from Islam. So I think today the number one sea change has been a recognition as to where Israel is in terms of the Jewish people and a greater understanding that Israel is at the very core of our religion. It's not a question of politics for the Jewish people, but it's a matter of our religion and faith.
Rabbi Mark Schneier, on that note, thank you so much for taking time and having you on the Media Line today. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All the best.